Welcome to the 8th edition of Rossville Remembers Oral Histories, brought to you by the Rossville Community Library, recorded on May 13, 2014. Part of the mission of this project is to collect, record, and share Rossville stories, both old and new. Today, Bill Hess shares some stories about growing up in Rossville.
Leo Berry bought a Volkswagen. I can't remember the name. It was back in the 50s. Little Bugs. And he's always bragging about how much gas mileage he could get 30 miles to the gallon. So the guys at working at the elevator decided to pull a trick on him. They started adding a little bit of gas every day, and he was getting 60 and 70 miles to the gallon. He couldn't believe it. He was so excited. He'd run and tell us went out west on a trip and come back and made 60 miles to the gallon. Well, then about 3 weeks later, they started taking out a little bit of gas. And he couldn't understand how come his car was only getting like 8 or 9 miles to the gallon. So he took it back to the Volkswagen dealer, and they'd worked on it and worked on it. Finally, they had to tell him what they did. He took it pretty good. He didn't get too mad. Anyway, his dad always had a bunch of guys hanging around the elevator. He buried a 5-gallon can of alcohol outside the window but between the railroad tracks and the office, right by the window. And all of his buddies would come in and work for him, and they'd want a little drink of alcohol. Well, he'd give them a long straw, and he'd tell them, you can go out there and take so many sucks on the straw. I was there one day when Tiger come in, and he'd been scooping cobs or something for Leo. This is old Leo. This is not young Leo. And he wanted his reward, so Leo gave him the straw, and he went out, took the lid off, laid down on the ground. He was sucking. I was looking out the window. Leo was tapping on the window. He said, I told you only 3 sucks, Tiger, only 3 sucks. And we always had something going on in the elevator, between the elevator and also that. Leo always had a lot of guys over there working. Leo made a big iron hook and hang it on the wall. It was made out of rods, like a fish hook. But one didn't have a point on it. Everybody wore overalls in those days. And when the drunks would come in and get so drunk, they couldn't handle themselves and bother him, they'd take him and hang him on the hook on the wall. And their feet would be about 2 feet off the floor. And he'd let them hang there until they sobered up. I went over one day and Bill Baird was in there sound asleep, hanging on the wall. Quite a place. The reason I know all this, our office was right across the street from the elevator office, and we was always running back and forth, and we had a big scales, and we weighed trucks, and we helped the elevator out weighing some of the big semis. And the day that, I never will forget this, the day that Kennedy was shot, we were in our office, and Leo Berry come running across, and we looked up, we heard him coming, and we looked up, and he was running real fast, and he come in the office and hollered, Kennedy was killed. And that was where we first heard about that, was in our office. It was quite a shocking day. We couldn't believe it, what happened to us in the United States. My brother and I, Burns and I, was in the lumber business, and my dad. My dad passed away in 65, and we ran it from then on. We worked there all our life. They used to have a great big cob pile. When they used to get the corn in on the ear, they'd shell the corn, and the cobs would pile outside the elevator. Well, when I was a little kid, coal was kind of a premium. Everybody in town burnt coal because there was no natural gas. Well, on a Saturday when school was out, or after school, I used to go over there and get a 5-gallon bucket, and I would carry cobs for the little stove in the lumberyard to keep us warm. He wouldn't burn the coal because it cost too much. We'd sell the coal. And we used to get coal in those great big coal cars. And then when I was in high school, I used to have to scoop it off. And I think I hauled coal to about every house in town. There was a Mrs. Bond had a big, big two-story house. And everybody had a coal bin in the basement. One window that where you shoved the coal down. I had a chute that was on the truck I took with me. And I'd angle it down and shovel the coal off in the bin. Well, she was always complaining about the coal being so dusty. So we used to water it down a little bit, and it seemed like we never did get it quite wet enough for her. So We had a load of coal. We had 4 tons of coal to haul over to her house. And my dad said, this goes over to Mrs. Bond. Make sure you water it. Well, I went over to the depot. They were the only one in town that had a great big tank for the trains. And they had a big hose that laid out there. You could get water if people needed water. They had a big pump with a motor on it. Anyway, I watered that coal down really bad. I really gave her a douse. And I took it over and shoved it in the basement. And about 3 hours later, we got a phone call from Mrs. Bond, and she couldn't understand how come water was an inch deep in the basement floor. So my dad gave me some sacks. We had old gunny sacks, and I went over there and soaked the water up. After that, her coal was always a little dusty. And when we used to get cement in, it used to come in cloth sacks and before the paper sacks. And they were 100 pounds, and we used to get them in a carload, and we used to have to stack them in the shed. And then they finally put them in paper sacks, and they were only 94, which is a little easier for us, and we used to handle all by hand. And everybody in town burned coal. There was no natural gas. I think it got to town in the 40s, 47, and electricity, too. People didn't have electricity, had their own. I got a story to tell you about Mrs. Nicholson. When I was a kid, I went in to get an ice cream cone. You got 2 dips for a nickel. Well, she would dip the ice cream out, and then with her thumb, she would push it off of the dipper onto the cone, and then she would lick her finger, and then the next one, she'd do the same thing. So I went home and told my mom what happened, and my mom was going to go down and tell her not to do that anymore. I don't know if she ever did, but anyway. Pete Navarre and I was really good friends when I was a senior in high school. I got a little story to tell. He used to print the paper on a Thursday night, and it had a big linotype machine. I don't know if anybody knows what a linotype machine is. It was a huge machine like a typewriter and had all these little letters in it that was metal. And whenever you pushed an A, the A would fall and get in line, and they'd get so much, a big arm would reach down and pull out a big sheet, and it'd all be printed. And then he had to put that on a machine that printed the paper. Anyway, Pete Noir, he always kept a bottle of alcohol behind the linotype machines. And once in a while on Thursday night, I used to slip in, and when I was a good friend of Pete's, and he would wonder if I'd want a little drink, we'd sit and talk. Anyway, he was really a great fellow.
Thank you for listening to this Rossville Remembers Oral History podcast. For more information or additional recordings, visit our website at www.rossvillelibrary.org.